Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can see since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Good evening. You are live on the Tex and Rex Show Sunday Special Extra. We deliver irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I am your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from outside the Ninth Circle of Hell, otherwise known as I-495, the Capitol Beltway encircling Washington, D.C.
This is Tex, broadcasting from high above Houston in the Crystal Cathedral, broadcasting under some extreme circumstances, I might add, that you're aware of, but, you know, doesn't seem to affect the flow, so we'll keep going.
Message has to be delivered. Tex and Rex is on the air regularly Friday and Saturday evening, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We are broadcasting a special show tonight following Bard's Logic, a political talk which normally broadcasts 9 to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday. And this is the time that you usually listen to Sammy Sanford's Conservatives Unite. Sammy is taking a much-needed break this evening, and therefore we are filling in so that you have a place to get relevant information about politics, conservatism, and the beautiful mess called liberty and the current election cycle. We have online with us a regular caller who is a patriot who manages the Coalition of Liberty on Facebook. Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Glad to be here.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, buddy.
Welcome.
Chris, you want to kind of give us a quick synopsis of what you all were discussing on Bard's Logic political talk, and we'll kind of continue that conversation?
Well, the first thing was the insanity of people, of the people who are attempting to tell people that they have to vote for Romney when they were the people that told us how evil Romney was for the whole primary and how they're attacking people. That was the first part of it. So it's almost boring now after listening to Floyd and what we talked about after you had to leave to go do your show. My jaw is hanging on my chest. It's really hard to talk right now. But it is amazing to me what we're learning, because we were willing to step out of the box and go, enough of the rhetoric, enough of the bought and paid for, stolen, coerced, you know, two-party system, two-party, one-party system, as you call it, two-headed monster, and just kind of stepped out and said, let's go do some investigation and do some work and research and figure out who these people are and who these other third parties are and who's viable and who's crazy and who the candidates are and what they stand for, and also getting the education. Floyd is worth his weight in gold, because he knows so much about our country from all the way back to the founding, all the way through the, you know, the election processes and all of it, and it's just amazing. It's a wealth of knowledge. All Americans should learn this stuff, and we learned it because we didn't listen to the news of the day. We didn't listen to the RNC tell us what we have to do. We just said, well, I'm a free citizen, I want to go get some answers. And look at what we're learning. It's exciting, and it ain't going to end. That's my input.
Well, absolutely. And I heard, as I was driving today, I heard some of John Stossel's show where he was interviewing Virgil Goode, Gary Johnson, and whatever that communist is over there in the Socialist Party. I guess he was there for laughs. But it's really interesting, as you learn more about this stuff, kind of what's going on, what the other parties stand for. and what they're doing. So, you know, I think it's interesting. I'm excited about it. I had a conversation with someone today. They're sort of pressuring me, well, you got to vote Romney because it's so much better than Obama. And so, you know, I have my standard responses to that. And I said, okay, I got a question for you. If Barack Obama is so much better than Mitt Romney, what's Mitt Romney's tax policy?
I don't know.
They were like, I don't know. I said, neither do I. I said, okay, so what's Mitt Romney's policy on Obamacare? It's like, well, he's going to repeal Obamacare. I said, well, yeah, but the other day he said there are parts of it that he likes. He's like, well, yeah, he did say that. I said, so what's Mitt Romney's foreign policy? He's like, well, I don't really know. So how is he better than Obama? Again,
I don't know.
You know, 59-point plan. What's point number 7? I don't know. I said, why the hell are you voting?
I don't know.
It's the R next to his name. It's programming.
Guy likes elephants. That's the
Go red jersey. Go red jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's look. The amazing thing to me is that the information is right there at your fingertips. And, you know, you're saying we're learning all this stuff and it's not going to end, Chris. Well, that's what being an American is. Look, if you lived in some third world communist dictatorship where you're told what to do and you're barely able to afford bread, then, you know, you're not responsible and you just, you know, try to feed your family and call it a day. If you happen to be, of the 7 billion people currently living on this planet, one of the 315 or so million Americans, you got to do this stuff. You have to be responsible. You are a sovereign citizen. You're involved whether you like it or not. So you got two choices. Either go along and get along with the information that's fed to you by the corporate media that tells you to go R or go D, go red or go blue, go elephant or go jackass, when in fact that is no choice. Or get informed and figure it out, and let's develop a viable strategy to go ahead and defeat the oligarchy, which is a one-party system with two wings, Democrats and the Republicans, and let's figure out how to restore the Constitution and liberty. And gentlemen, we've got our first caller from area code 608. You are live. Who are you and what's on your mind? Hello, 608. Do I have a caller from area code 608? Oh, they hung up. Yeah. They hung up. I scared
them.
It
sounded like air on their mind there for a second. Like something.
Well,
yeah.
Either they're shy, and they just wanted to listen to the show, in which case they could have just simply told me I don't want to talk, and I would have muted them. So 608, if you want to call back, I won't activate your mic. If you want to listen via your telephone, by all means, feel free to do so.
I do want to.
They might have been in the car, which is what that noise was. They might have been in the car, so they just wanted to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. To everybody, if you call into the show and you don't want to talk, just go ahead and tell me I just want to listen, and I will mute your mic and let you listen. If you got something on your mind, please go ahead. There are very few rules on Tex and Rex, but if you blaspheme, I will mute you or hang up on you. Otherwise, it's our mic. We paid for it, so our rules count. But as long as you're polite, as long as you're not talking over other people, I will share conversation with you, irrespective of your viewpoint. Maybe you're an Obama supporter, a Romney supporter, a general moron, or you actually have a principal position for Gary Johnson, Ron Paul, or Virgil Good. Whatever it is, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. Gentlemen, is there anything on your minds before I go into a rant?
I just wanted to add one thing, because one of the conversations that is starting to filter as a counter or a negative to try to get people to get off the third-party conversation, I just saw a chat from Robert, is this thing that, oh, they're just in it to block Romney. The thing that I want to say that's important, number one, is these people, the specific person who said this earlier in a chat that somebody added me to, which kind of blew me away because I didn't want to be added to it, but you know how people are, is I told them in that chat that we have a guy on right now who's really intelligent, really understands politics, and he's explaining all this right now. Of course, they didn't come on and get the answer. They just want to smear the negative and confuse people instead of come to these shows and learn something for themselves because they're leading people down a dark path, because they're trying to stop people from being educated and informed, which is, as an American citizen, you're supposed to be. Anyway.
Yeah, well,
absolutely. And the thing is, they're coming after us because they're afraid we're going to be effective again, and that, you know, we'll eat into the Republican Party support and the Republican Party after they lose this election, which they already are well on their way to doing. You know, they're going to have to start listening to us, because look at how well third parties did, right? So people want to hear more of that type of stuff, right? So now we're going to have to modify our RINO platform to go back after these voters who wandered off the reservation, because it turned out they didn't like our latest RINO. So that's what they're concerned about. They don't want to do any hard work. What they want to do is savage you and your reputation and all this kind of stuff, because, you know, you won't play ball with them. Well, I played ball with you guys, and you cheated. And so I'm not going to support you, because I don't support cheaters or liars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I think we've had this discussion before, and I'm afraid for the next 50 days we're going to have it again, and then we'll probably have some variation of it discussing it for, you know, the next 48 months. But basically, this is fear-driven. Fear of Barack Hussein Obama, who is just the current moronic face of the oligarchy, because we refuse to replace him with Willard Mitt Romney, the other moronic face of the oligarchy. And it just baffles me because, you know, people who for the last 6 to 8 months have been screaming from the rooftops, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama are the same. Mitt Romney cannot beat Barack Obama. Mitt Romney is as dangerous as Barack Obama, are all of a sudden coming at us and saying, you got to vote Mitt Romney or we'll get Barack Obama. I don't get it. Either you forgot what you were saying before, or you're completely deluded, or you're lying, or you're so frightened you can't think. But it cannot possibly be a principled stance to tell me that you've been screaming from the rooftops that you hate Mitt Romney, he can't beat Barack Obama, he's just as bad as Barack Obama, and all of a sudden you're trying to convince me to vote for Mitt Romney to defeat Barack Obama. First of all, it ain't going to happen. The numbers clearly show that in an electoral college vote, Romney has about as close to zero chance of winning as you can get. And number two, why would you want to replace one with the other anyway? Doesn't make much sense.
We can impeach him. Didn't you hear?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's a great strategy.
Oh, yeah,
let's
genius strategy.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and vote for a guy so that we can impeach him. I mean, that doesn't make any friggin' sense to me whatsoever. But look, here's a simple thing. Okay. This is America. Everybody has a right to vote for whomever they want. You do have a right to vote for Mitt Romney, and you do have a right to vote for Barack Obama. Now, what baffles me is we all know that Barack Obama is an illegitimate, ineligible president who hasn't been impeached by Congress, and he's running again. And if you vote for him, then you are assenting to his policies, his record, which he has now, and his illegitimacy. And then we have Willard Mitt Romney, who is an illegitimate pretender candidate because the delegates at the RNC convention did not nominate Mitt Romney. It was a show. It was a scam. It was a deceit. And if you vote for him, you are assenting to that crime. So it doesn't make any sense, and you can't convince me. And I'm not sure you can convince Robert Jetter either, who's on the line with us. Hi, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Rex. Thank you very much for letting me in tonight.
Hey,
I agree.
Robert.
I mean, hello, guys.
I considered not letting you in, but then I decided, what the hey.
Oh, okay. I'm glad,
Robert,
you decided
you're
to let me
such
in.
Robert, you're such a troublemaker.
Robert, would you say in this election, in the presidential election of 2012, we're being asked to vote Harkonnen? And could you explain what that means to the audience, if you know?
Vote for Konnen?
Harkonnen. Harkonnen. H-A-R-K-O-N-N-E-N.
It's escaping me.
You have not read Dune.
No, I have not read Dune. I must admit, I have not read Dune.
I have. I love it. Watch the movies.
Tex, I suspect most of our audience hasn't read Dune either.
Chris, you want to explain it or should I do it? Chris, you want to explain it or should I?
No, go ahead. You're on a roll, man.
Okay. All right, yeah. Well, so anyway, in Dune, House Atreides runs the planet Dune, and then the House Harkonnen comes and they take over Dune, and the Harkonnens are viewed as illegitimate rulers of Dune, and so the Baron Harkonnen, who would be George Soros in this scenario, decides what he'll do is he'll have his crappy son rule Dune for about 5 years, and then the people will so hate his crappy son that they'll be happy to accept his good son, who will lead them and thus legitimize his rule. So I feel we're being set up with the same trick right here. So, you know, vote Harkonnen 2012.
It's a great analogy.
Well, you know what that means, don't you, is that the RNC has read Dune, and our listeners haven't. Now they know the
science. Yeah, that's right.
So they,
John Dune is a big Dune reader. You didn't know that. Karl Rove, he's all over that thing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that those guys have never read it, but it's a typical strategy employed by the evil-minded. I mean, look, the very simple fact is that Sununu, Rove, Cubis, all these guys, they created a setup, a crime, a show, and I understand how someone who's not been plugged in because they don't pay the politics until, you know, 2 weeks before the race might not be aware of it. They don't really have an excuse because there's a Google search bar in their browser and they could find the videos quite easily. But for those who have been grassroots activists for Ron Paul, for Newt Gingrich, who know exactly what happened, I just can't fathom why they would all of a sudden change tunes. Now, gentlemen, there's four of us on the line. I don't want us talking over each other, and if necessary, I will mute mics except for my co-host, Tex. But we have a caller on the line, someone who is a close friend who we've been in the trenches with before, and she's full of a wealth of information and wisdom. We have a slight disagreement. Okay, we have a severe disagreement about the top of the ticket, but we are in agreement on down ballot, and I'm going to bring her mic live. Barbara Haney, you are live on the Tex and Rex Show. How are you?
I am fine. And, by the way, we don't have that much of a disagreement on the top of the ticket. I'm just ignoring him.
Okay.
I'm in the most northern part of Alaska, okay? And I can vote for a cat, and it won't matter, okay? It's going to be whoever's at the top of the ticket is going to be the Republican is going to win, okay? Pure and simple. So, that's why it's just not productive to talk about the.
Yeah, Barbara, I was going to say down here in Texas, it's the same thing. I mean, Obama's not going to carry Texas. Romney will, so that's why I'm like, well, I'll write in Ron Paul because.
Well, Ron Paul
is going to get Texas. Yeah, well, if enough people write in Ron Paul, we can change it. But I'm writing in Ron Paul, and at least I am, at a minimum, I'm expressing my discontent with the current direction that the GOP, really, the RNC has decided to lead the GOP, or not really lead, but betray us to go in this direction when nobody really wanted it. And in the future, maybe they'll start listening. But, you know, I think Ron Paul would actually have a chance of winning Texas. We get enough people doing it. And, you know, I mentioned this to someone else today. Sorry to filibuster. But I said, we're driving down the street going to a restaurant, and a car was in front of us, two Ron Paul stickers. I said, oh, look, it's a Ron Paul guy. He's like, yeah, I see a lot of those around here. I said, that's interesting. How many Romney bumper stickers have you seen? And he kind of thought about it. And he said, I've never seen one. I said, don't you think it's odd that in your district in Texas, which votes 85% Republican, no one has a Romney sticker? When normally the entire thing is covered with whoever's McCain, you know, it's Bob Dole, but nobody likes Romney. It's really weird.
Oh, I can answer that for you if you'd like. If you would like
well,
to answer to that. Because we were all told that all the Romney stuff is going to the swing states, and that will be the focus of the campaign. They are not going to worry about downstream candidates in deep blue or deep red states.
Well,
and
Barbara, one addendum to add to that, the person who I was speaking with, Mitt Romney mm-hmm. mailed him a bumper sticker and mailed a lot of Republicans in the area bumper stickers, like, put these on. So they weren't selling them. They were like, here's some bumper stickers, put them on, and nobody did.
Well, yeah. There's a bunch of us who got them in the mail, yeah. But it's like, oh, okay, just kind of set it aside because, you know, if my car breaks down. Oh. Well, you know, if my car breaks down, then I'd have to put it on my next car, right? So I don't know what I'm going to be driving in November. So
yeah, well,
you know, that's one way to look at it. So anyway, that's just kind of the thinking here. Yeah, but he's focusing his, what I call his free stuff, his, you know, his signs and literature and all that. That's all going to the swing states. It's not coming, you know, to any of the deep red or deep blue states where everything's already decided. And, of course, you know, where I was at in Alaska, you know, things are pretty much decided before our polls even open. So that always makes elections a little bit hard to energize around here. But I am kind of curious, is there was somebody, now, who was on Robert's show earlier? Was that?
I was.
Okay.
I was there.
Okay.
So was
me too. I was there.
That was, no, you mean that was Floyd Whitney from the Constitution Party.
It was who?
Floyd Whitney from the Constitution Party.
Is he going to be back on soon?
Well,
on
that's
Gary,
up to Floyd,
or,
isn't it?
Oh, no, I
anybody can call in, Barbara.
I didn't know if he was scheduled to call in here or not. Okay. I was
Can I answer that?
Sure.
I was in chat with him, and he said he's got stuff he's got to do. He would love to, but he can't do it because he's got Virgil Goode on tomorrow night, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff he has to do and a campaign to run.
Right.
And, you know, senators and House of Representatives, all those down-ballot people you talk about, they have a whole slate of those that they're running, and so he's kind of busy. But he'll be on again.
No, I get that. So they have a website where they have all their folks listed at for the Constitution Party?
I'm sure they do. Just like every other party.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Just like any other political party, like the Republicans, the Democrats, the Libertarians. It's a regular political party.
Yeah, okay. I guess
they just happen to have a platform that conservatives can actually get behind and a candidate that is actually conservative.
Right. Well, I guess my curiosity in the Constitution Party is largely stimulated because WND has done such a great job, of course, of including our Constitution Party candidates in the news items that they put out, which, you know, makes it something that I'm somewhat familiar with as opposed to, say, the Green Party. But on that note, I'm kind of curious as to are they on all, they're not on all 50 states, are they?
Yeah, actually, they have candidates in all 50 states, and as we're talking about POTUS candidate, then Virgil Goode is actually right now represented on more than 40 state ballots, either as an official write-in or actually on the ballot, and more registrations are coming daily. But as you know, since we vote by electoral college, you don't have to be on all the states to win. You just have to get 270.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
No,
I
understand
Barbara, when I talked to you on the Tex and Rex show, I got to talk to my audience as well, who may not know everything you know.
No.
Okay.
So. Because I was thinking the Constitution Party, I don't remember them having, I remember the candidate coverage being scant on there. That's why I was wondering, you know.
Which candidate coverage?
State legislatures.
I don't know. He put a list on my group, and it was pretty impressive for us, for a party that supposedly isn't supposed to be anything.
Well, the Libertarian Party's been around for 40-some years. The Constitution Party's been around for, well, I think since about 1992, so relatively young parties that have accomplished, you know, quite a bit given the dominance of the Republicrats in our electoral politics. But, you know, since the top of the ticket and the RNC of the Republicans have decided to go the way of the Whigs, we're going to have to fight it out in other places. And hopefully, with efforts like what you're doing, Barbara, we can reclaim the Republican Party from the grassroots up. But the top of the ticket, that's a dead issue.
Well, it is what it is, okay? So as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of like shrug my shoulders. And, you know, I mean, I can make a big deal and say, well, vote for this, whatever. But the reality is it's not going to matter. So
actually, that's not true, Barbara. It can matter. I mean, you know, that's not. I'm not going to let you say that on my airways. It does matter. Who I vote for does matter.
Where I live, it won't. It'll be more of a chuckle than anything. Okay, somebody would laugh when they saw the ballot.
But let me ask you a question. This is really important because I think people misunderstand our conversation, and I've said this now probably 200 times. Whether we win, lose, or draw, whether we get one of the existing criminals in office or not, there is still a chance, and that's what Floyd was talking about was what happens when nobody receives that 270 ballot. So for people who have been talking about broker convention for months and months and months, we have the potential for a broker convention in the House. But that being said, the number one reason... No, that's a Floyd conversation. Let me just finish and then you guys can talk. This is important to understand. The number one reason that third-party conversations are being attacked so hard, which we all know they are, and we all know who's doing it, is because they don't want people who aren't voting. There's a lot of people sitting out on both sides. That's okay with both the major parties. But let's say one or two or even three of the independent parties collect 20, 25, 30% of the vote, and even if they lose, it changes our politics in this country forever. It shows people, which I have a Gallup poll to prove it, 50% of the people out there are very interested in the third party, but they don't know about them. You get a 30% number logged in third parties, and people are going to start knowing about it. That's what they fear. They don't fear a win or a loss in this election, per se, even though it could happen. What they fear is the conversation we're having, and that's why we are being attacked, and all of our friends are being attacked. I see the Facebook posts. I know who's doing this stuff, and I know why they're doing it. Stifle the conversation. It's not about a win or lose.
Yeah. No,
it's
I
about
know.
The future of
yeah.
the
yeah,
crib.
Chris,
because they
Chris,
don't want to get
on.
Out. They got to strangle it in the crib. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
It won't work. But
it's not
right
okay because it's getting
let me,
stronger.
Let me just
more
point out.
Are
let me just point out. Hold on. Time out. Let me just point out. Tex and Rex show. Tex and I will never stop talking because our mouths are lethal weapons. So they can try to stifle the conversation. It ain't going to happen. But in any event, why don't I take it to Barbara, and then we'll jump over to Robert, unless Tex has something he wants to interject.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Rex, I was just going to say that speaking of our voices and the power of our voices, that also is from Dune. That is the voice of command. So Paul Atreides was learning that. Anyway, a little Dune lesson.
Muad'Dib.
Yes, that's right. All right, I'll turn it over to the next guy.
Did you see Rachel Maddow's overview on Virgil Good?
Well, I wouldn't call it an overview on Virgil Good. I think that she was certainly trumping up a third party because she thinks that it helps Obama, and it was definitely one-sided. But I find it interesting, and I really despise having to agree with that snarky woman, but she's one of the few major media journalist, so to speak, who's actually talking about Virgil Good. The other one, of course, is John Stossel, who obviously favors Gary Johnson, but at least he gave Mr. Good a platform.
Right. That's why.
Did you see it, Barbara?
Yeah, I saw Rachel's. Yeah, I did. And normally, of the left wing, I don't normally watch a lot, but that one I happened to catch because that was pretty informative. And I know there are a lot of Dems who are looking for an option besides Obama, and they're not happy with Romney either. And Gary Johnson kind of appeals at first until you find out he's also for the legalization of heroin. And then people pause and go, it's one thing not to bust somebody for a joint, but heroin.
Yeah, but Barbara,
that's
a canard, and we know that. I mean, you know, every time that someone brings up these things, oh, he's going to legalize drugs or he's going to do this. The president does not make legislation. The Congress does. And a liberty candidate is going to go into the White House with a rhino-controlled House and a Democrat-controlled Senate. So he's not going to legalize any kind of drug. It's not going to happen. Go ahead, Barbara.
No, I agree. I agree with you completely. That's, of course. Okay, it's just that when I'm just telling you the reaction that I see that kind of overtakes people's voices, and it's kind of interesting to watch, actually, with liberal Democrats because, you know, they're willing to go only so far as well. So I just find the reaction very interesting. But so there's a lot of a lot of Dems who are looking for some options that really aren't very happy at all with either Gary Johnson or with, you know, Mitt Romney either. I mean, some of them kind of like Romney, but a lot of them don't want Romney any more than they want Barack Obama.
Barbara, I would just say, based on my personal experience, I, you know, grew up in Texas, but I had a lot of Democrat friends. So apparently the 15% of my district that was a Democrat, apparently I knew all of them. But anyways, I kind of grew up with these guys and everything, and, you know, I was always GOP, talking about Reagan, talking about Newt Gingrich, and all this kind of stuff. And as we got older, went to college, gradually a few of them started to, you know, come over to more of a, I would not say, like, conservative view, because they would never call themselves a conservative because, oh, that's the enemy term, right? But definitely more libertarian-ish. And one of them, who was going to vote for Gingrich if he was on the top of the ticket, he said, I'd totally vote for Gingrich because, you know, he and Bill Clinton balanced the budget. And then he called me after Florida, and he's like, what in the hell is the GOP doing? I'm like, Mitt Romney's trying to steal the election. He's like, I can't believe, and he's, Santorum is the worst thing. He said, I would go vote for Obama deliberately to vote against Santorum, you know. But he said, I talked to him recently, he said he's considering voting for Gary Johnson. So you are right that even Democrats don't like the Democrat ticket. And so there now is this huge groundswell out within the country to break out of the two-party system, because the two parties have failed us. Because they are in collusion. They're colluding to ruin the country, and everyone is starting to realize that. And more and more people are waking up and like, all right, what are these third parties? Because I want another choice.
Exactly. Tex, you're right on. Actually, hold on, Barbara.
I have another question.
That's fine. We'll give it to you in just a second, but I wanted Robert to chime in on what we've been talking about so far. Robert, are you there? And this is Robert Jetter from Bard's Logic Political Talk.
Yes, indeed, I am. And one thing I'm finding interesting, I've used this website I have here on on Bard's Logic numerous times, and we were talking about you know, Romney possibility of winning. And I've used this, as I said, on numerous occasions. But one of those I'm looking at, and I've always, you know, tell everyone where I got it so they could go look at it themselves, and it's www.270towin.com. And if the election was held today, this is what the Electoral College count would be, not counting if there's any third parties that took some of the states. Right now, Obama would win with 303 to Romney's 235. So that if the election was held today, Obama would win, which I find incredible, because this is most probably the worst president in American history.
Mm-hmm.
And for the opponents of that president to be losing at this stage of the game electorally.
And Robert, I just want
to go ahead.
Exactly. I want to jump in and say something because this is what the right is starting to put out there to counter, to try to not necessarily counter, but to excuse why that is the case. Because now they're already writing Romney's excuses, right? So every time when Carter was president, when Obama's president, doing a terrible job, they start with all these articles in the press. Is the presidency just too big a job now? Like, ho-hum, this poor guy, what are we asking him to do? I mean, come on, it's unreasonable, right? So now the right, they're out there with Romney losing, and they're trying to advance this narrative that the country is lost. You know, we've gone too far. Now too many people are too dependent, and we can't do it anymore because everyone's dependent, and so no one will vote. And I had someone tell me this today, and I said, you've been watching way too much Bill O'Reilly. I said, people aren't voting Obama because they're on welfare. People are voting Obama, or at least sticking with him, A, because they're mind-numb robots like you are who are just going to vote Republican anyway, and they don't really think. They just see the jersey. And B, even if they did have a glimmer of a thought of maybe I'd look at the Republicans, they hate Romney. The problem is Romney.
Good point. Tex, thanks for chiming in. That was excellent. And just so that everybody knows, Tex is the co-host on the Tex and Rex show, so therefore whenever he wants to speak, it trumps all of you. But Robert, did you want to finish up your point, or can I take it to another guest?
Well, one other thing is, someone could just give me, while I'm playing with this map, and I'd like to come back with it, because one of the questions that we're getting on multiple shows about the the possibility of a third-party candidate winning. And some of them are saying that, well, it doesn't matter if, you know, one particular party, you know, let's say like the Constitution or the Libertarian Party wins, you know, the presidency. But if they can, as Chris was alluding to and saying that, you know, if you get the other parties, you know, all the other third parties, you know, the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, the America Party, okay, and if they win a state here, a state there, and they can lower the Electoral College, you know, so that no one gets the 270 and goes to the House, and then, of course, makes a
right.
huge statement, because that's something that can't be hidden. I think that's something, a point you've made, Rex. Is that something, or perhaps Chris, that that's something that cannot be hidden? That's not something that the press could, or either party could try to hide. So what I'm asking, if anyone has a list of the different states that, I mean, if they're on all 47, I mean the possibilities are endless for any of the parties. But I was just going to think about if we had some particular state
Absolutely.
That we could do a breakdown in which I could use this map and say, okay, well, this is what the Electoral College would look like, you know.
Well,
after extrapolating
Robert, could you imagine? Could you imagine what would happen if, because if it gets thrown to the House, I would imagine John Boehner and all his cronies are just going to put Romney over the top. But could you imagine if that happened?
No, they won't.
Because
they won't.
Because
I'm
Romney.
Sorry.
Oh, I got that.
Hold on. Because Romney would have had to have stolen his own convention, right? That would start coming out if there was an Electoral College thing. And then he couldn't even get it in the Electoral College, and maybe he would end up in the White House in this scenario, right? But he would be so wounded as a candidate, well, as a president, politically, that he would have to start tacking way more conservative and sticking more with where the American people actually are.
Exactly, Tex. That's a brilliant point, and I just want to chime in on a couple of things, and I'm going to throw it to Chris and then Barbara. One, you said that, you know, people are starting to float, is the presidency too big, and the country's falling apart because we can't get a president, and I just want to remind everybody that we are a federation of republics. So even if there was no federal government whatsoever, you know, everybody freaks out, Newt Gingrich shut the government down, oh my God, you know. We have 50 governments. We have 50 governors. We have 50 legislatures. We have 50 Supreme Courts. So we do not devolve into anarchy without a federal government. We still have order. We still have the rule of law. And we still have representative government, irrespective of what happens at the federal level. But the thing to keep in mind is that if enough liberty candidates win enough electoral votes in the states and actually deny 270 to both pretender candidate Mitt Romney and pretender illegitimate incumbent Barack Obama, then this will go to the House. And ostensibly you would think that John Boehner would throw it to his buddy Mitt Romney. But that piece of beef jerky has actual conservative Tea Party congressmen in his House who may be a little quiet now. He may have cowed them down. He may have shut them up. But if they're given an opportunity, say, to consider a Virgil Goode, then they might actually act like Tea Party conservatives. And then don't forget something. Mr. Goode used to be a Democrat, a conservative Democrat when there was such a thing. And there are plenty of Democrats in Nancy Pelosi's caucus who would be looking for somebody other than Marxist Barack Obama. So it is not that clear-cut that if this goes to the House, that it goes to Mitt Romney. It could actually go to a Liberty candidate because some of the congressmen on both the so-called left and the so-called right might be looking for a compromise candidate who can actually work with them as opposed to the party bosses. Chris, I'm going to throw it to you, and then when you're done, unless Tex has something to say, I'm going to throw it to Barbara.
No, go ahead. You stole my thunder. You must have read my article. No, I'm just kidding.
I apologize, Chris.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was awesome. And Floyd explained that. He covered even more in depth on that after you left to go do your show. So, you covered it perfectly, so I'll give my time to Barb.
Fantastic. Barbara, go ahead.
Thank you. So let's assume, for example, you guys know I'm a district chair. Let's assume, for example, I knock on the door and I get a Democrat, okay, and they're not going to vote for Romney, but they're not going to vote for Obama either, though they don't want to, okay, and they're thinking about staying at home. Suppose I want to try to still entice them to the polls, if we can go that direction. Let's suppose then, okay, there's the Libertarian Party, which, of course, is another set of candidates. But let's suppose I have, like, for example, I don't have them on my ballot, but let's assume I did have Constitution Party and the American Party on my ballots, okay? What are the differences between those two parties, and what are the fundamental difference between the candidates at the top of the ticket? I know Virgil Goode is, he's from Virginia. I know he is with the Constitution Party. Mm-hmm. I know Tom, I'm probably going to butcher his name, Heffling?
Hopefully.
Yeah. He is also the top of the American Party. So what's the difference between those two candidates that you see for conservatives, as well as the top of the party issues that would be important to Democrats versus Republicans who are bugging out of
those
parties?
Okay, well, that's an interesting, although I think academic question, which I think I'll throw to the panel. But before that, let me put a little disclaimer on the discussion that we're about to have. It is somewhat irrelevant, and here's why. Because the issue is not so much what are the particular positions of these third-party, so-called third-party liberty candidates, as much as it is that the positions of the so-called establishment candidates, Romney and Obama, are exactly the same. They're both unconstitutional. They're both terrible for the country. And whether you're an Occupy Wall Streeter or an anarcho-capitalist or anywhere in between, neither candidate speaks to you. So the idea would be that you would find the third-party liberty candidate who is available to you in your state, whether as a write-in or on your ballot, who has the highest chance of success to win, and you would vote for that guy irrespective of some of the other issues, because the name of the game right now is not so much let me find the candidate I love, because, for example, in my case, I'm a Newt Gingrich supporter, and I don't have the opportunity to elect Newt Gingrich. So my mission is to stop Barack Obama and Mitt Romney from winning, or at minimum, to weaken them so much that they go into the White House limping. That being said, anybody want to field Barbara's question regarding Hoefling and Goode?
You want me to do it?
Go ahead. Sure, go for it, Chris.
Well, I think a number of us could speak on it, but go ahead and start, Chris.
Whoever wants to talk it, otherwise I can do it. Whatever.
Well, I think we'll
why don't we go to Chris and then Chris and then Robert? Let's go to Chris and then Robert.
Now we got it. All right, Robert. Okay. First of all, Thomas Hoefling is a great guy, and he has some great philosophical foundations. Here's the difference. He does not have a full-fledged organization across the country. He needs a citizen organization to rise up and to be that and do all that between now and November 6th. Can it be done? He believes so. So here's what we're dealing with is, I would say, down the line. Now, he would disagree, because I heard him on a radio show the other night where he kind of worked the Constitution Party and Virgil Goode over pretty good, which I'm sure they would love to have a chance to counter that. So I think that if you talk to him, he would tell you what the differences are in that respect. But basically, from a constitutional standpoint, they're both on. And Rex has said this perfectly before, that there are slight differences in how everybody views exactly how the Constitution needs to be applied to the problems that we have. Okay, and so we could argue those moot points forever and never get anything done. But the bottom line is the way I view it, as far as my conversations and the depth of research I'm doing on all the parties, that the Constitutional Party not only has, you know, state senators, House of Representatives, and state legislators, all the way down to county sheriffs and auditors. They have people, you know, down what you call down ballot going on all over the place, and they also have a full team of executive branch people ready to go. So that, you know, there's slight differences there here and there. So I think a lot of it, there's a lot of similarities and there's some differences. And then people have to figure out for themselves, is do they believe, you know, Tom can take his platform and himself to the Congress and fill all those positions and make all that work. If they believe he can, then he's a great guy. That helps.
Yeah.
Not a little bit. It helped. Okay, let's take, for example, some traditions.
There's some recorded. You can listen to Thomas Helfing. He's been, I think he's been profiled like 6 times now on the blog radio show, so you can hear all of this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I interviewed him twice on Sammy's show, so you can check out those archives.
Right.
And I've interviewed him once myself,
yep.
And that's also on the archive. But one thing I could say about Tom Hoefling and Virgil Good is that, and of course I could bring up Gary Johnson as well, and I'll use Gary Johnson first. He's on all 50 states, so he's got a possibility of getting a win in every one of them. So, but when I talk about Virgil Good, or Good, and Tom Hoefling, is that for people who truly want to vote for a candidate based on social issues, because let's be honest, there will be some folks out there, by voting their conscience, they're going to be voting their conscience according to their social value. Okay, and the thing I could say about Tom, Hoefling and Good that you cannot say about either Romney or Obama is that they're truly pro-life, which is a very important issue. Now, there are some differences on whether that's an issue that could be addressed this coming election cycle. However, there are still very many people who will say, look, that's one of my top issues. And I can only mark in a box for someone that is strong on those two issues. And they say if they want to vote their conscience and they cannot vote for either Romney or Obama because of their stances on abortion, and even Romney might say he's pro-life now, but no one believes it because we know it's not true. I mean, if it was true, then he would be giving the money back that he got from doing the fundraiser from the folks who manufacture the day after pill. I mean, he would have to know by now where that money came from. And from my understanding, he's not giving any of that back.
Right.
So he's not. So he's not a pro-life candidate.
Right.
So if people want to vote for a pro-life candidate, there you have Tom Hoefling and Good and Virgil Good. And also,
and Ron Paul.
Ron Paul. Real quick, I just want to, speaking of Virgil Good, is we do have him coming on to Bard's Logic tomorrow night, and I don't know what time. They didn't give me an exact time or what time he will be on, but that will be tomorrow night on Bard's Logic between 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern time.
I'll definitely tune in for that.
Okay, so, for example, Obamacare. Are they going to both repeal Obamacare? Are they on the same page about that?
Well, does it really matter, Barbara, because neither Obama or Romney are going to repeal Obamacare, so who really cares?
Yes, they are.
I would say they would replace. I would say they would replace it. I would say they'd get rid of it. I think go ahead, someone's going to chime in. But.
Well, I just want to say clearly, first of all, that repealing Obamacare, okay, that's a Article 1, not an Article 2 issue. And so since we're talking about Article 2, it's kind of an irrelevant point. So let's move on to something relevant, please.
Okay.
Back to you, Barbara.
What about on the military? What about the international bases?
Well, I heard...
And Afghanistan.
Yeah,
Afghanistan,
Barbara, I heard...
That's a big one.
Today, I'm just speaking from what Virgil Good said on John Stossel's show, because he was asked about that, and he said that if I were president, we would not be in Iraq or Afghanistan unless the Congress had a declaration of war stating that we should be in Iraq or Afghanistan, because that's what the Constitution says.
Which, by the way, is a very tenable position for you. It's a very tenable position for you Ron Paul supporters out there and who live in states such as the Commonwealth of Virginia, in which Virgil Good has a strong chance of winning, and Ron Paul, unfortunately, does not. You can comfortably vote for Virgil Good because his position is very similar. I'm not saying he is just like Ron Paul, but very similar, and certainly far more of an Article II president than either Obama or Romney.
Okay. So then let's talk about the Senate races for a second, if you guys don't mind. Who does the Constitution Party have? Well, I think it's a full complement of Senate people, right?
Well, that's a great question for Floyd. because that's not something that we have spent a lot of time on yet. That's just now become available. And the documents on my site, Barbara, all these questions you're asking, they're right on my site. You're a member. Go into the files. You can pull all this stuff up. You know, it's all there. And
Chris, Floyd, for our audience, could you please tell them what your site is?
Oh, I'm sorry. Coalition of Freedom, and I'll put it in the thingamajigger again. I'm sorry.
And that's Coalition of Freedom on Facebook as a group, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And we can get caught up in these details so we're blue in the face. You know, and we're all still learning about this stuff. Virgil Good will be on tomorrow night. That's a great show. That's where we're going to be hashing a lot of these things out because we're all still learning about him. See, here's what's really interesting is we're not promoting Virgil Good. He seems to be a lot of the conversation because a lot of his, we've done shows and he's coming up, so we're in that conversation. But on Wednesday, we also have the vice chair and the chair for the Johnson campaign on Robert's show. So we have a chance to, you know, hash out some things with them, too. So just so everybody knows that we're not, you know, trying to over-promote Virgil here, even though he's, I love his accent.
That's fantastic. And the other thing to keep in mind, Barbara, the thing to keep in mind, and I think that this is where we have kind of an interesting, messy, free kind of thing, which is beautiful in America, is when we're talking about the top of the ticket, if you're truly conservative, truly libertarian, truly constitutional, you've ruled out the statist corporatist candidates and we're vetting our other options and developing a strategy to defeat the oligarchy. However, when we're talking about down ballot, if you're a constitutionalist or a real conservative, you're going to look at conservative Democrats, you're going to look at conservative Republicans, and you're going to look at conservative libertarians and conservative constitutional party folk as well. But, you know, I think that this idea of voting a party ticket, thankfully, is over. So, you know, just because someone happens to like Ron Paul or Virgil Good or Gary Johnson does not mean that they have to support the down-ballot candidates of that party, because we can easily vote for the Republican or the Democrat. And I think that you probably have a wealth of information as to which races people can vote down-ballot for actual conservative Republicans on.
I'd love to have that on my site if you want to post it. We respect your position, Barbara.
Well, it's just my position here is this, okay? If I'm looking at a deep blue state, okay, a deep blue state, I'm not talking about a red state, I'm not talking about a pink state or a purple state or whatever you want to call the comment that, like, are you looking at a state like California, what is so liberal that the Dems can run against each other, and sometimes a Republican gets in by accident or something, but almost never, unless you're in Daryl Issa's area. All right? The vast majority of California is very deep blue, all right? And anytime I can get a Republican or a conservative in a deep blue state, I'm going to go for it. And there are some opportunities, for example, in the state of Illinois, that part of the state and make it red to make Chicago a red dot, I'm sorry, a blue dot on a red state, which would be phenomenal because, you know, there was a time when Illinois was a red state and it wasn't very long ago, all right? And it was so interesting when I was there over last week. Every time I went somewhere, people apologized for Barack Obama. I mean, the first thing I would say, I was from, they said, well, where do you even live in? I said, Alaska. They would say, we are so sorry about Obama. We don't know where he came from. We don't know what happened, blah, blah. I mean, it was just the apologies for Obama were enormous. It's like, do you realize what he's doing to my state? Do you realize what he is doing to fellow Americans? I mean, what's going on in Alaska is absolutely criminal at the hands of Barack Obama. That's why I just want him. I want Salazar gone. I want those guys gone. Okay. I don't want to say I don't care who replaces them. I kind of do, but I'm just not going to get hung up on it because, there's going to be a year anyway where they can't do very much, but they can undo a whole lot pretty quickly.
Right. Well, Barbara, I mean, I don't think you're going to get any disagreement from any of us about getting rid of Barack Obama. The issue is that, you know, all working towards a brokered convention and supporting Newt Gingrich, we were all aware of the very simple fact that Romney has absolutely no chance of getting rid of Barack Obama. And even if Romney were to displace Barack Obama, none of the policies that are screwing up Alaska or any of the other states are going to change.
It's
so I don't care
about
who replaces him.
Obama, the man. It's about replacing the policies that Obama supports. That Mitt Romney, as far as we can tell, basically is the same thing.
Well, my point here was this. I'm sorry, I digress from my point. There are some Republicans that are very competitive. And
Barbara, I'm losing you. Barbara, I'm getting digital feedback on your Skype. Let's try that one more time, but if it continues, obviously we won't be able to have the conversation. Try again.
Right. There are some Republicans or conservatives in Illinois, at least running on the congressional end, in very Democratic areas, who could win? I just don't want people to. If there's Constitutional Party people running there, then I would be very happy to look at them. I just didn't see them with a presence, and that doesn't mean they're not there. I just didn't see them with a presence. That's all. This is an area that's been so controlled by the Democratic machine out of Chicago for so many years that to get in power would be phenomenal. It would just be enormous. So, and even if they're kind of a liberal Republican, it would still be a vast improvement over the crooks they've had in power for so many years. So I guess I don't want to see people miss those sort of opportunities. And I don't know if anybody else is from some other parts of the United States where something similar is going on, but we have some real opportunities here if we can kind of set aside the junk with the top of the ticket, because the top of the ticket isn't going to look at California, isn't even going to try. Somebody like Emily Emkin, who could quite frankly take out a senior ranking member of the Judicial Committee, isn't even getting a blink.
Well, exactly. And Barbara, let me echo what you're saying here. I think that down ballot, we are all in agreement about finding the most conservative and the most constitutional candidates, and I see that as completely, divided from the top of the ticket, because Romney's obviously not interested in the same thing. All right, folks, we are at the top of the hour. We've got 1 hour left of broadcast time. If you'd like to join the conversation, the call-in number is 646-649-1013. And I would like to remind you to join us tomorrow at 9 p.m. on Bard's Logic Political Talk. We will be having a discussion with Virgil Goode, presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. And for all of those who are wondering about Sammy, let me reiterate, Sammy is doing okay. Sammy just needed a much-deserved break, so Tex and Rex are filling in. And whenever Sammy needs a break, we will be filling in from his 11 to 1 p.m. time slot. But watch Sammy's pages for when he'll be broadcasting again, and you can find us on his show. And remember, the regular time for our regular broadcasts is 8 p.m. on Friday. All times are Eastern time, and we'd like you to join us there. Again, the number is 646-649-1013. Unless Tex has something to chime in on, I'm going to throw it to Chris.
No, that's fine, Rex.
All right, Chris, go ahead. What's on your mind?
No, I just wanted to add something to Barbara, just because I didn't mean to be so flippant about, you know, we're all still learning this stuff and who all these candidates are and things like that, because we haven't been focusing on that. We just got the list. But you need to hook up with Floyd, and he can educate you and help you. You know, two people who are party people, you know, get that conversation going so you can get a better feel for who they are, what their philosophies are, what their strategies are, and what they're trying to accomplish across the states, not, you know, federally, states, and all the way down to local. We're actually working on a program, a show, where he brings in six of their sheriffs that they are backing and supporting and doing and educating people on how important a sheriff is, you know, to the power of the state and your rights and civil rights and the whole state authority and state sovereignty conversation. So definitely want to hook you guys up, because you're going to get into conversations we probably are a little shallow on.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I'm thinking, too, when I knock on a door, I got 30 seconds to give an answer, okay? And if I don't, if I stand there and go to their website, forget it. You've lost that vote. You get where I'm at? I have 30 seconds to engage that person, basically.
Sure.
So
sure.
That's why that's why when I ask you that question, what I'm really getting to, I guess I will, is how do you hook them into a conversation to engage them in this whole discussion of third-party candidates? Because there are a lot of people who will say, you're just throwing away your vote, or, you know, or they'll say, well, who are all these other guys and why do I care about them? You know, why should I give them, you know, the time of day? And so you've got to have that thing that will them. The pro-life issue is an important one. But it doesn't seem to distinguish Hoeflinger and Good very well. So that's why I'm looking at some other issues that'll give me a little bit of clash, a little bit of distinction.
Right.
So that, you know, what you get where I'm at. Because somebody in West Wachukatella is not really going to care whether there's downstream candidates or not. Okay? Because probably this has a particular personality in a particular district, which happens. Okay, by and large, it's going to be
Barbara, I got digital breakage again. I'm losing you. Try repeating that.
Little Mr. Roboto going on.
Okay, sorry. For the vast majority of people I talk to, unless there is a specific race, it's going to be the top of the ticket where most people are going to worry about the third party candidate, right? Now, once they look at the top, they might look at the downstream candidates. But generally speaking, you're not going to see a lot of play in the downstream candidates necessarily. Now, that's why I'm wondering what at the top is the nuances between these guys so that when I have that 30-second break, that 30 seconds to engage this person, what are the distinctions there, you know,
right,
between these guys?
Well, can I help you with that one? Is that all right? Can I actually
sure.
address that, Rex? Okay. Here's the thing, is that it's very difficult for us to – I'm actually going to put together a document, and part of that document is going to be right down the line on the issues. And then also I want to profile their organizations, because I think it's really important for people to understand, especially when they're looking at third party, because, like, how big are they? You know, are they in other states? Do they have down ballot candidates? You know, are they a viable organization? Because there's a lot there's 33 fringe parties. And in my research, I found some of them that no longer even field candidates. They just never could get traction. But they believe in what they're doing, and they back other third-party candidates, or even, you know, Republicans or Democrats in their area. So there's a lot of, you know, there's so much information. That's why we're kind of focusing on the top two, because of the size of the organizations and their place and their longevity in the field. But I'm going to put together a document for this, and I'm trying to piece it together because we're all learning together. And part of that's going to be issues, and part of it's also going to be the organization, so people can look at that. Because I know how people are. That's why they always end up rolling to the Democrats or the Republicans, because they're established, you know. And we follow that lead, that leader kind of sheep mentality. Well, if you educate people that the Libertarian Party is actually all over the place, and they have candidates, and they have people in the House and Senate, and, you know, governors, and then all of a sudden people go, oh, wow, they're big, and they become more involved, and they start to do their own research, because we can't do everything for everybody. All we can do is open the conversation, provide good information, and tell people where to go to get it for themselves. I mean, that's about it. That eats up about 15 hours a day right there.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Cool. Tex, Robert, you got something?
Well, actually, I'm working on the map you know, if of Electoral College, if indeed you would have a host of, and I'm not saying one, just one particular party, but if you have, let's say, for instance, a win of Virgil Good in Michigan, you know, let's say, because he mentioned Michigan tonight on the show, and I know one of the states that I had a brain freeze there for Tom Hoefling. There's so many candidates, so many for them, the people to choose from. Over in California, I know that's one of the ballots. He's also in Florida, in which, you know, if they were to take enough, remember, they only need to take 34% of the popular vote in order to win. So, if, you know, different parties, third parties, depending on where they are on the ballots, and some of them, of course, some of them have multiple third parties on a state ballot, you know, which could win, in which, you know, it doesn't have to be one overall party that wins a lot of states, but if you have a lot of third parties or some of the third parties, which are from the grassroots, winning the states, then bringing it to where neither candidate can have 270, then that could just definitely show, you know, the importance and impact that a third party can make, and many feel must make in order to you know, get some real change, what this nation needs.
Hope and change. Absolutely. Or change?
Real change, you know, not, you know, real change, like real change in people's pockets because the economy gets better. Because we're just trying to live under the political elites of the two dominant parties.
I have an autographed copy of Newt Gingrich's Real Change on my on my bookshelf. So, yeah, real change. That's what we need.
Cool.
So, but, yeah, I mean, this is all part of a learning process. And, you know, as I go talk to people around Texas and other places, you know, I'm informing them. And, you know, I talk to people who are not politically active and just like, oh, I don't care about all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, who do you support? And they're like, I support Obama. I'm like, why the hell would you support Obama? And they said, well, I don't know. I mean, he seems like a nice guy. You know, well, okay, what is that noise? We're still there?
What is it? Yeah, we're still here. What does it sound like?
Okay. Sorry.
I don't hear anything.
I was getting a lot of static. But anyway, so there's a thunderstorm outside. That's one of the reasons I was almost late. You know, anyways, I talk to these people. I'm like, well, you know, look, you don't like everything that party stands for, so why don't you start looking into some of the third parties and then start voting for those, you know? Because this person said, well, I never vote anyway. I said, well, why don't you vote? He says, well, because it's a waste of time and I don't really care that much about it. But I said, you know, you should get involved and you should start looking at third parties and start voting for them, and then people will start courting your third party's vote and start incorporating some of what they believe into what the main party believes, you know, and you can change things that way, you know. So I think increasing the participation of Americans in our election system and perhaps doing so through third parties will definitely be beneficial because, you know, the two main parties, they just figure, well, we've got this thing locked up. Most people don't vote anyway, and the people who do vote are a bunch of mind-numb robots who do whatever, you know, Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly tells them or Chris Matthews and whatever the hell else, Alan Combs, I don't, you know, whatever idiot is over on those other stupid channels. Let's just make sure that regular people, they just feel like they shouldn't participate unless they're playing, you know, one of the two main parties. But I think if you go out there and you inspire people and you get them involved and you start creating more of a third-party movement, then you can really significantly over time shift the political discourse in the country and totally shift the direction that the country's going in, because we got to stop going in this European socialist Marxist direction that we're in because it's killing us.
You know, let me chime in real quick because I finished just a part of the map and where how many states would actually have to be go to a third party that could cause neither party to go to be able to get the 270 to win. And it would only take, and I just did this at random according to a list of states that third party candidates are running for the president. And you only would need 8 states to go third party. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the same third party to keep Obama or Romney from getting the 270 to win. And
are you saying that's the minimum number or that's the
Here's the states that I picked, and you could play with the map. And there's other states that are available, but here are the states. Let's say, for instance, of course, this is a hypothetical, but I did take states that do have third-party candidates on a list of presidential candidates: Idaho, Colorado, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, Michigan, Iowa, and Minnesota. And there's many more, but those are the ones on the list. I just went down the list and clicked them and put them as third party, and it would just take, even if it was those states. And if you notice, Idaho, Colorado, Louisiana, Alabama, Iowa, those are states that have less than 10 electoral college. Most of those states have less than 10 electoral college. And if a third party goes to those states, then that could very well keep Obama and Romney from getting the 270. So is it possible? Yes, it is. I mean, there was only two states, you know, there's Minnesota, Michigan, and Florida, which is five of the eight that were above 10. Minnesota 10, Michigan 16, and Florida 29. I mean, and there's still many more states on that list. So for those who say, well, it's impossible, no, it's not, because eight out of 50 states, and these are both states that would have been taken, you know, conventional wisdom by Republicans or Democrats. So, and they said just go to www.270 to win. And it's I really love the map because it's interactive. It has recent polls, and they're state polls. They're not national polls, because as we all know, it's not the national polls that really matter in a presidential election.
Right.
It's the individual state polls that matter. So it's really a great map, and it's www.270 to win. Thanks, guys.
All right, Robert, if you don't mind, would you throw that in chat just for those who didn't quite catch it? And that was great. Tex, you got
sure.
anything you want to throw in there, or can I throw it to Barbara and then Chris?
Throw it to Barbara, then Chris.
All right,
chimed in right before Robert already.
All right, sounds good. Barbara, the floor is yours. Did we lose Barbara? All right, Chris, go.
Okay. And I want to throw a monkey wrench into the whole deal. You know, Rob is talking about, you know, you have two different types of write-in states. You have write-in states that are pure freedom. You walk up and you write the guy's name on the ballot and it counts. Then you have
write-in states. I think there's eight of those.
And the majority of the states that write in, you have to do something. You have to register. You have to, you know, every state has a different component. And that's like, what, 24 or some pretty big number. So here's the challenge, and especially when it comes to, I don't want to be negative towards the Paul supporters, but in those states, if he as a candidate didn't go there and do something, that write-in vote will be thrown away. So, or given to the other, you know, candidate or whatever, you know, or tossed in the garbage. So that's one of the challenges of those types of write-in states. Then you have the states where we have, actually, contrary to our rights as voters to vote our will, you have all these rules, and they're really ugly. And these states are the ones that are hardest to get on the ballot in. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party just walk in, and they don't do anything but grease a few palms, and they're on every year. The third parties have to jump through hoops like you wouldn't believe. There's rules in every state. They end up in litigation because the major parties want to squash them. And we have a gentleman by the name of Richard Gilbert that a lot of people know about, an attorney out of California that filed the delegate lawsuit, and which has not been lost, contrary to all the people who want to smear Richard Gilbert and his efforts.
Chris, can I stop you for a second before you go on? I'd like to point out to everybody who's listening that irrespective of how you feel about Richard Gilbert, and there are Ron Paul supporters who go one way or the other, I just want to say that in my opinion, the man is a patriot, and he's standing up for what he believes in, and he's defending the rights of all of us to vote our conscience. And whether you agree with his lawsuit, don't agree with his lawsuit, he has some very valuable information, and Tex and Rex and Chris and a few other people chimed in on an interview with Richard Gilbert on our Friday show. So check out in our archives. You can go to our page and scroll down to our Friday show, which was September 14th, and you will get a lot of valuable information through that interview, which I think is very important. So, you know, we have to get information from all sources to really understand how things work. And back to you, Chris.
I'm just going to jump in real quick, Rex, and to follow on that thought. Sorry, Chris. But just, you know, I'm getting tired of all this. Everybody's upset about someone's doing what they want to do, right? Hey, we're all individuals. We're all sovereign citizens. We can do it whatever we want, right? And these people said, oh, Richard Gilbert's not pro-Ron Paul enough, or he's just using Ron Paul. Doesn't matter. He's pursuing a lawsuit that is very important and could potentially stop, you know, the Romney nomination. So that's all for the good, right? So,
exactly.
I mean, leave people alone.
Back to you, Chris.
Okay, so anyway, what he's doing right now, they have all 50 states, they have their plaintiffs in place, and they're getting their process servers in place. And what his goal, and he was on your show, and I'm not going to try to trump anything on that because you want to go listen to the archive, it's incredible. After I left to go do the other show, you know, he went on, I went back and listened to it, and they talked about this whole, you know, election process. But what he's working on, and it's a very simple premise, and that is that we're not able to vote our conscience. And this whole concept of America is your ability to vote your conscience. And that was part of also what the delegate lawsuit was about. But he has more time on this lawsuit, and he's going after the write-in concept. All the states are going to be put on the lawsuit, even though eight of them have total open free write-in clauses. But the idea is that these eight states that give you the right to go up there and vote for who you want, that's true American freedom. And the idea that the other ones don't give you that freedom, they're giving you less freedom than the other states. And that's part of the idea behind the lawsuit, that we can break this stranglehold that the major parties have on this country. No presidential election should be a $1 billion expense price tag. It should be the people and the proper delegates and the proper electors voting for those people for the right reasons, not because you can raise $1 billion and dazzle people on that show that everybody loves to watch, America's Got Talent, and those types of shows. That's not what this is about. And so it gives it back to the hands of the people. So that's kind of what this lawsuit's about. We'll be posting everything we can about it on the site and when this lawsuit gets posted. And I also have a paralegal on my site, and she goes down through the lawsuit, any of the lawsuits or what's going on, and kind of turns it into English and helps us understand it and that kind of stuff. So, you know, who knows? I don't know. Does Richard Gilbert know? He's not going to stand here and tell you he's going to win. He just says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to fight. And so that's another component out there in this whole mix of things. A lot of people working on our ability to vote our conscience and get decent people into our government and turn this country around. Because if we don't, and Rex and I have had this conversation before, we ain't running off a cliff. We're already hanging off that cliff. Remember, you guys like to talk about movies. Remember the Jurassic Park when that big long, the second series or whatever the movie was, when the Tyrannosaurus Rex knocked it over and they're hanging off the cliff, that big dual tandem trailer.
Thing, yeah.
You know, it's already off the cliff. And there's one guy with that little Subaru, you know, hooking around a dead stump or a rock, trying to keep that bus from going over the cliff. That's where we're at in this country. For anybody who is not medicated and believes Barack Obama is going to give them more money and that Romney is going to solve this stuff, we're off that cliff now. And so we're trying to save the country, I guess. That's a novel concept. Anyway, that's my input.
And Chris, let me just say that you bring up an extremely valid point, and so did Tex. Freedom isn't always pretty. It's not always ordered the way we would like it, but that's the point. Exercise your moral judgment. Exercise your conscience. And within the constraints of the Constitution, which keeps us from stepping on each other's toes, that's what America's about. And you have a responsibility to be involved. You have a responsibility to tell the truth. You have a responsibility to get involved, and you can't do that without information. And, you know, I always say that Tex and Rex is irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. You know, you never know what we're going to say, and sometimes we have fun, and sometimes we say things that are off the wall and probably offensive to people. I just want to remind you, the First Amendment guarantees your right to be offended, and we intend to help you exercise your rights. But we deliver very good content from all sources in order to help you get informed so that you can be involved. And we've got about 40 minutes of show left. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. Tex and Rex welcome opposing viewpoints. As long as you're respectful and you don't blaspheme, I will let you have the floor. If you get out of line, I will mute you. And we have a caller from area code 903. 903, if you just want to listen, tell me I just want to listen and I'll mute your mic. But if you have something to contribute, just tell us who you are and what's on your mind. Go 903.
Hi, Rex. It's Mary Lewis from
Texas. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Good show. Hey.
Hi, Mary.
I was listening to Barbara.
Hi, Mary.
Hi there.
Did you call in? I seen a 903 on my show tonight, but it didn't say it wanted to be in the queue, and maybe I should have let somebody in, but I didn't. But if that was you, I apologize.
Oh, that's
but
okay.
Ahead.
I just figured if you had time, you'd let me in. But a lot of times, you know, I don't really want to talk. But it was a good show, and I'm enjoying this show, too. I was really thinking about, with your show, Robert, just telling people, and there's just so many people that don't like Obama that, I mean, they don't want to vote for Romney. We're not just talking about Republicans here. We're talking about Democrats. And, you know, it could make a huge difference for people to see that we do have another option besides the two candidates of evil. So anyway, that's all I was going to say to your show. And it was funny because it got mentioned on Rex's show and Texan Rex's show. And so anyway, but I really feel like that you're going to have more people that want to leave Obama if we could just give them a clear choice. So
can I add to that, Rex?
Please,
and see,
Chris,
that's what Newt Gingrich was saying, is the way you win an election is you draw a contrast. This is what I stand for. This is what they stand for. This is my vision of the world. That's their vision of the world,
mm-hmm.
right? And you draw the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And people will gravitate towards people who do that, people who stand up for what they believe in. People are crawling through the desert looking for leadership. You need a leader to stand up and say something. And Mitt Romney says, hey, my name is not Barack Obama, so I'm pretty cool. Honey, you should vote for me, right? Well, I know... You know, there's 350 million other people in this country's name aren't Barack Obama either, but, you know, I'm not voting for them. You know, he's made no case as to why he should be elected. Wow, he's governor of Massachusetts. Yeah, you kind of sucked as governor of Massachusetts, actually. You know, I turned around the Olympics. You know, isn't the Olympics like one of the most corrupt organizations in the world? Like the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, is like completely paid for with like bribes and stuff like that. So you turned around the Olympics. Yeah, you know, good job. I don't know you want to be associated with that organization, but, you know, go ahead. I mean, there's no – he has not made the case. And even
– No, and no one trusts either one of them. No one does. They don't trust either candidate.
No. And how could you trust Barack Obama, who campaigned one way, and then when he got in office, he did completely the opposite of what he said. He was going to cut the deficit in half. Right? But what he did was increased it by 50%. You know, I mean, he said George Bush took out $5 trillion from the Bank of China, you know, right? Well, George Bush did that over 8 years. You took out $5 trillion in four. So, I don't know, I guess you're, what, more effective at destroying the country? I don't know. And then, you know, Mitt Romney, he's been all over every single issue his entire political career. There's no reason to trust either of these people. And if they tell you something, they look you right in the eye, they're lying to you.
Right, and I was totally prepared to, like, you know, being a Republican, was totally prepared to just vote for Romney, and, you know, if he won, but he didn't win fair and square, and so because of that, it's just I'm really, y'all have caught my interest, and because y'all are investigating the different options, and I really appreciate that, because, you know, it's the only place that I've been able to find anything that's been able to stimulate my interest and give me hope again.
Well, you know, I feel the same way because, you know, I've been trolling through that desert known as, you know, kind of conservative talk radio and Fox News. I've got Sirius Radio, so I was listening to it in the car. And it's just, you know, one canned storyline after another. And they're just, it's not really even the news. It's just junk that they're making up. You know, for instance, this thing about how the September 11, 2012 riots in the Middle East were caused by this movie that came out in 2011 that nobody ever saw, and now they're pursuing a case against him as an accessory to murder because he made it. I mean, it's insane. I'm like, if people are watching the news and they think this is how the world works, they're truly idiots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you've got to find those alternate voices out there and people who are really interested in finding the truth and finding the answers and not just, you know, repeating what their team leaders told them to say that day.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, I mean, everyone's so used to, you know, the usual two parties. And so I don't know. I mean, I know that we don't have much time.
Well, there you go, and now they've seen what the two-party system has done, and they're like, geez.
Right.
You know, I used to support these guys, but the country's about to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree, yeah. Well, that's it. I'll listen. I just wanted to call in. Basically, I was online listening, and then it went dead, and then when I tried to get back on, it wouldn't let me, so I thought, well, I'll just call in and talk to you. So.
Well, thank you for calling.
Clear your cookies. Yep.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And just as a, you know, I guess a technical announcement to everybody, Blog Talk Radio uses Flash Player or Shockwave. Some browsers don't get along with it. I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, Tex, you can chime in, that Adobe has been purchased by Microsoft, so the idea is that it is most likely compatible with Microsoft products like IE Explorer. However, if you use Google or Opera or Firefox, you might have some problems. But the idea would be make sure that you update your Flash Player, update your browser, clear your cookies, refresh your page, and you shouldn't have any problem. And as always, you can listen on the radio. If you call into the Tex and Rex show and it says, you know, push 1 if you want to talk to the host,
mm-hmm.
you can ignore that because this host will put you on the line no matter what. However, if you just want to listen, you just go ahead and tell me that you just want to listen, and I will remute your mic and you can listen on the phone. And
right.
for everybody else, Blog Talk Radio gives us 2 hours of broadcast time, so promptly at 1 a.m. we will be going off the air. We are having a great conversation, so if it runs longer, it will go into recording time, which will be available in the archive. But if you want to listen to it live, you will have to call in before Blog Talk Radio shuts off the broadcast. And the call-in number is 646-649-1013. And as always, Tex and Rex, welcome opposing voices, because our goal here is to provide relevant content about liberty, and we are willing to talk to anybody who is respectful and does not blaspheme on our airwaves. If you come here and try to, you know, get combative, I will kick your ass. Go ahead.
Rex, why don't you go ahead and repeat the platform for the Constitution Party? I thought that was really the preamble that I did find your link, but I just thought that was interesting. I had not heard that, and I just thought of all the Christians that are just, you know, just I would think that that would speak to them. And so do you want to read that?
Okay.
Do you have it? So you can read that out? And I thought it was interesting.
Probably. I haven't memorized it yet, but you can always look it up. It's www.constitutionparty.com. I will read the first three paragraphs of the platform.
Mm-hmm.
The preamble says, "The Constitution Party gratefully acknowledges the blessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as creator, preserver, and ruler of the universe and of these United States. We hereby appeal to him for mercy, aid, comfort, guidance, and the protection of his providence as we work to restore and preserve these United States. This great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been and are afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. The goal of the Constitution Party is to restore American jurisprudence to its biblical foundations and to limit the federal government to its constitutional boundaries."
Yeah.
I strongly recommend
awesome.
You look at it in detail.
I mean,
it's amazing to me how many, Mary, I'm glad you brought that up. It's amazing to me how many people are not familiar with these things because we just, we've been, you know, taught to think in a dualistic matter of duopoly, which is really a cover for monopoly. You know, it's Burger King or McDonald's, Coke or Pepsi, Democrats or Republicans. But the fact is that the beautiful thing about freedom, the beautiful thing about America, is you have choices. Now, some people, especially those of the Marxist school of thought, tend to think the choices are confusing, and it puts more responsibility on me, and I've got to do research and find things out so that I can make the right choice. It would be so much easier if somebody else would choose for me. Well, if you want someone else to choose for you, then you're choosing to be a slave, which I suppose is your right, and there are plenty of places in the world where you can go be a slave, the Muslim countries, Africa, even communist China. So feel free. In fact, if it's that important to you, I'll buy you a one-way ticket. Get out of my country. But if
right.
you are an American, then you have to make these choices. And if you're an American and you're making these choices, you have to make informed choices, which means you need information, and that's what we aim to deliver here on Tex and Rex and Sammy's show and Bart's Logic and Chris's website. So get informed and make decisions. And if you are a Christian believer, you have to remember another very important point. When you take action, any action, whether it's sipping a cup of coffee, smoking a cigarette, eating a chocolate chip cookie, or voting, you need to consult with God and exercise His will to the best of your ability. And the Constitution Party clearly states that in their platform, that's what they aim to do. Now, it is a party made up of men and women who are sinners like the rest of us, and they are not perfect, but at least they are trying to move things in the right direction.
Right, in God we trust. I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Tex, you got something on your mind before I throw it to Chris or Robert?
Well, you know, I just want to chime in on the thing about being an informed voter. That really is the key, because I think too many people have just been on autopilot for decades and just, you know, voting the jersey. This is my team. You know, it's the Bears versus the Bulls or whatever the heck it is. You know, and so I support, you know, this team, but they're not looking at who the players are, really. They're like, oh, I heard good things about this guy, but what's really going on is this stuff all happens at the local level. All these politicians get their start at the local level, and they work their way up, and they develop records. So we need to do a better job about paying attention to what they do when they're in office, pay attention to what the parties are doing when they're in power,
term
and get
limit.
To know these candidates. Yeah.
Term
you know,
limit
get to know these
help.
Candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, my thought about term limits, I go back and forth on this, but my thought about term limits is, what if you find a really good guy and you want to vote for him? Well, you can't because he's term limited. The thing is, you wouldn't need term limits if you had an informed citizenry. The problem is, right now, we don't. So we need to create an informed citizenry, and unfortunately, the government schools don't create informed citizens. They create mind-numb drones who are prepared to do the bidding of our new overlords. So that really is the key.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah,
we need to
I agree,
go
Tex.
Out and seek information.
That's true.
I agree, Tex, 100%. And the amazing thing to me is that, look, you know, the discussion about term limits, the discussion about, you know, this issue, that issue, all of these things that everybody wants decided before they vote. Let me explain something to you. We're a democracy and a republic. And the very simple fact is that these are the debates and the discussions that we're supposed to have passionately, and we're supposed to go toe-to-toe and may the best ideas rise to the surface. Electing people is not so much about issues as it is about delegating authority and responsibility to people whose judgment you want exercised on your behalf, and then being vigilant and watching them as they exercise that judgment and rewarding them with re-election if they exercise good judgment and firing them if they exercise bad judgment. So for everybody who tells me, well, you know, my issue is pro-life, my issue is gay marriage, my issue is legalizing marijuana, my issue is ending the wars, my issue is ending the Fed, that's wonderful. Find people who exercise judgment on these issues who are going to make decisions based on their good judgment on American principles and on constitutional constraints and send them into office. And don't nitpick every little mistake they make, because you're electing human beings who are sinners, who are going to make mistakes, but don't allow them to be compromisers on principle or peddlers of foreign influence like the usurper President Obama or the pretender nominee Mitt Romney. So seek information. We intend to provide it. And let's be clear about something. If you want to know something, ask, find us on Facebook, tell us, hey, I'd like to hear a show about X, Y, and Z. If you have some documentation and research, provide that. If not, we'll try to find experts who know these things, and we'll bring them on the show and get you this relevant content. Now I'm going to throw it to Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
One of the things that I want to add that's really important in this whole conversation about third parties, and the one of the biggest attacks against this conversation is stealing votes from Obama or stealing votes from Romney, which our friend Floyd has proved that that's not true, and he keeps throwing stuff on here that you have to be a, you know, have a doctorate degree to understand, but he tracks all this stuff. And he proves that that is a lie. So if you want the truth on that, you know, you go to the site and read some of his posts. But the other thing that is so important for people to understand, tens of millions of Americans no longer vote. Tens of millions of Americans will set out this election because on the Democrat side, they realize they got a leftist Marxist in power. They don't like it because not all Democrats are bad people. I know a lot of them. But when they look to the right, they're looking at the corporate Marxist, and they're going, I don't want him either. So they just plan on sitting home. I hear that number's over 30%. You go to the right, the Republican side, same thing, same issue. It's about 30-plus percent. I believe both these parties, and we already know Romney is a master at suppressing votes, and I believe both of them have already figured out that that's the number, and it cancels itself out. So they're fine with you not voting. That's why they don't want this conversation, because this conversation shows those tens of millions of people who are frustrated no longer believe the system works for them. They believe, you know, the whole voting machine rhetoric, you know, the information that's got out there about the machines and the all that crap. They're essentially, that's the people we need to reach. I don't spend my time trying to convince Romney people to go vote for Virgil Good, Toeffling, or any of the rest of them. I don't do that. It's not where my energy's at. My energy is to educate people so those people out there that have totally given up have an option, understand that they have an option. Because if we can activate 20, 25, 30% of those non-voters, we change the direction of the politics in this country. And what's really cool, based on our research that we've been doing, at least on the two top parties, is both of them have some pretty darn good platforms. They have some variations on some of the social issues that people, you know, or the moral issues, as Rex says, you know, that you agree or don't agree. But you have some really good options. And I actually made a comment today about this, that it's kind of like the Democrat and the Republican Party 30 years ago, you know, in terms of they really, you know, they're kind of moving back. And those options are there because when you look at the DNC, the RNC, they're nothing like we grew up with, either one of those parties. I would take a conservative Democrat as a president right now compared to some of these Republicans we got in office. I mean,
it's
pretty
Sam tricky.
Nunn. Yeah. What about Virgil Good? He voted... You know, and people ask me this question, well, he was a Democrat, then he became an independent, then he became, he's a flip-flopper. No, the Democrats kicked him out of the party because he voted on four articles of impeachment against Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
That's the history on that. He stood up on principle. I'll take a Democrat. I don't care what your letter is behind your name. Independent, Democrat, Republican, you know, CP for Constitution, whatever the case may be, I'm looking for principle per people again. And I think they're out there in the big parties, and I really believe, and Rex alluded to this earlier, but I believe as these parties grow and get some traction, and we're seeing more and more of these down-ballot candidates coming on board, I believe a lot of the existing Democrats and Republicans in power right now will move party if they can find a party that will quit lying to the American people. They don't have an option. When I look at Sarah Palin or Newt Gingrich or any of these superstars, and you know their heart has to be breaking over what they just saw happened. And I'm sure on the Democrat side, which I don't pay attention to, that they have the same issues. We just had a Democratic gentleman come over to the Republican Party, and they gave him prime time. Wouldn't give it to Newt or Sarah Palin, but, hey, they gave that Democrat prime time. You know, but there are people looking for salvation. You know, I need a boat. You know, the water's rising, and I want off this island. This is a very dangerous, corrupt island we're becoming. So
yeah.
I just want to put that out there because there's tens of millions of people who will vote if they knew they had an option. Go ahead.
Well, yep. I think, Chris, what you're saying is absolutely right, and I think this is what it looks like when you have those periods in time in American history that, you know, we've read about when third parties rise. Why do they rise? Because the two-party system has failed, and I don't think the two-party system has ever failed the United States more than the current two-party system has failed the U.S., and so people are out there, they're disillusioned, they don't know what to do, but they're willing to hear, give someone else a hearing, right? And so I think now is the time to really start that conversation. I think, you know, the seeds will land on fertile grounds, and, you know, we can get a whole conversation going and wake up a nation and fix this thing. But, you know, we got to go find like-minded people and get conversations going, and even if they're, you know, Democrats and that kind of stuff, kind of hear them out, because, you know, some of the left-wing critique of what's going on in the U.S. is also valid. You know, they're very anti, you know, sort of TSA, Patriot Act, eavesdropping stuff, which I think a lot of, you know, people, libertarians are as well. So, you know, hear them out.
Mm-hmm. The only other thing I was concerned about, too, as far as our elections, is the Soros, you know, his company in Spain.
Oh, yeah. Mary, you're talking about the Diebold machines. And actually, we are working now on getting some information and some expertise, and we're planning on having a discussion about truing the vote and the corruption and the algorithms and the electronic voting machines this Friday on the Tex and Rex show, which is 8 p.m. Eastern.
Okay,
and you can find us on Blog Talk Radio. So that is our intention, and we are trying to vet, you know, the candidates. We're trying to find a path. We're trying to build coalitions. We're trying to get information so that these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, watch for that. We're aiming for Friday, but, you know, it's an imperfect system, so we have to just find the information, and we'll get it to you. And this goes out to all the listeners. If you have any of this valid information, please get it to us, or become a guest on our show, and we're going to talk about these things. So, you know, this is democracy in action. This is your country. You're responsible. If you know something, you know, take Janet Napolitano's advice. I think it's great advice. If you see something, say something. And Tex and Rex aims to be your forum for saying something.
Right.
I want to chime in on a couple of things that were said, and I want to kind of take it in a different direction. We got about a quarter hour of show left, and then I'll let everybody have a go. I want you to think about this differently, because right now we're looking at, oh, we're past the cliff. It's a dire situation. America's hanging on by a thread. I don't know what to do. I'm scared of Obama. Romney sucks, all this stuff. But I want you to just really take a different view. Get excited, because of the thousands of years of human civilization, the 220-some years that these United States of America have been in existence, of the 7 billion people alive on this planet today, you have the privilege of living in America as a free, sovereign citizen, and God is giving you the opportunity to get off your ass and do something meaningful with your life, to be that shining city on a hill that can't be hid, to be the voice crying in the wilderness, to be the Minuteman, to be the American patriot. It's a wonderful opportunity. So don't be scared. Get informed. Get involved. And you know what? You're likely to make mistakes. And that's okay. You're a human being. You're entitled to making mistakes. Mistakes are God's little opportunities for us to learn something. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, and if you can learn from someone else's mistake, that's even better. But sometimes you have to learn from your own. We're witnessing a huge mistake. We've sat back on our asses. We've stuffed our face with Cheetos. We've watched Dancing with the Stars. We've raised our families. We've worked our jobs. We've run our businesses. And we've let these oligarchs destroy the country. Well, guess what? That's a wake-up call. And now is your opportunity to be part of rebuilding and restoring the constitutional republic of sovereign citizens and sovereign states. It's wonderful. And what you need to do is go grab somebody by the scruff of their neck and tell them, wake up, take the red pill, get out of the matrix. It's a little uncomfortable, but it's thrilling, it's exciting, it's meaningful, your life will be significant. And years from now, you can look back and tell them, I was there when we turned it around. And it's not going to happen in November, okay? It's going to be a long uphill battle. And the battle for freedom is never, ever ending. You have to remain ever vigilant. So rejoice in this and do something about it. So grab people. Get them to follow our show. I'm not promoting this show because I make money on it or because I want to be famous. We're promoting this show because this is where the true media is. Stop watching Fox News. Stop watching MSLSD. Stop watching Dancing with the Stars. And do something meaningful. Bring people here. Bring them to Bard's Logic Political Talk. Bring them to Sammy's show. Sammy will probably be broadcasting sometime this week, and until he's back on at 11 o'clock, we will be broadcasting Tex and Rex. And, of course, tomorrow at 9 p.m., tune in to Bard's Logic Political Talk, because we will be having a discussion with Virgil Goud, the presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. We are now within 15 minutes of the show ending, so Tex and I will need the last 5 minutes to wrap up. So I'm going to first throw it to Robert. Robert, is there anything that you would like to chime in on before we close out for the evening?
Yes, two things. One is that I know one misconception about third parties or even multiple parties in the American political system is that somehow some people feel that it has a ring of European-style government to it, in which, the Europeans, they have multiple parties. I mean, that's just not American. It's not American to have more than just, you know, the two parties, Republican and Democrat. That's something I definitely would rail against, because I think that the more parties you have, personally, I think the better shot at representation. I'm real partial to the Irish political system myself, and I won't go through all that because you guys only have a few times too. Is that one group of voters that we haven't discussed about a lot tonight is the independent voter. And a lot of them are independent because, obviously, they just don't have a party that they want to affiliate themselves with. They don't want to affiliate themselves with the Republicans. They don't want to affiliate themselves with the Democrats. However, if there is a party, either whether it's a Libertarian, Constitution, Party, America's Party, whatever, that they would like, what they would want to adhere to, I think that there is a huge possibility that the large group of independents would actually find a party affiliation once again. And so you would definitely have a viable option, a viable choice other than the Republicans and the Democrats, because I'll just make it brief here. You could draw, if you have a successful party that could draw from both the Republicans and the Democrats and the independents, you definitely will have a party that can win not only in the national elections, but in the local elections as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Robert, and thank you very much. And did you want to give out your call-in number? I know that the link is in chat, but did you want to give out the call-in number for tomorrow's show?
Sure.
So that if anybody wants to listen on the phone?
Definitely. Yes, the call-in number, as Rex has said, for Bard's Logic Political Talk, which will be at 9 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow, is area code 347-945-7428. And after this, I'll put it in the chat real quick. So thank you, Rex.
Great. All right. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you,
Jack. We will see you tomorrow.
See you. Good night.
Good night. All right. Mary, did you have anything on your mind you want to chime in on before we close out for the evening?
No, you're just doing a great job, and I appreciate it. I've enjoyed the show.
Well, thank you for calling in, and we got to get our voices out there. We got to get the information. We got to bring more people here. So I appreciate you being here, and I would like everybody, please share this on Facebook, tweet it out, call people, talk to them personally. Just get them here, and if they say, "Well, I'm not interested," or "I'm not going third party," or whatever, say, "Well, What if you've already made up your mind, then what problem is there in possibly getting some additional information that will only serve to confirm the rightness of your decision? There's no harm. I mean, if you're convinced that the choice you've made is right, then an opposing view is not going to be a problem. But don't you owe it to yourself to at least check it out before you rule it out? I mean, that's just the prudent thing to do. So I really thank you very much for being here, Mary. And please, all of you, share this with your friends. And good night, Mary. I'm sure we'll see you tomorrow.
Good night.
Okay.
Bye, Mary.
Chris, why don't you go ahead and fire off a salvo, a rant, or whatever you feel like.
I'm all ranted out, man. We had such a great back-to-back shows. I'm filled. It was so awesome, and to get Floyd on there, I was tagged. tagging him, you need to get on this show, and he came on and did his thing and educated us some more. And what you said was so key, get fired up. I mean, you and I talk about this a lot, you know, one-on-one on the phone is, what the heck am I doing? I never, if you would have asked me 6 months ago, 3 months ago, would you be doing this? I'd say, why would I want to do that? You know, and it is amazing, fluid thing. When you're doing good things and you're learning new good things and you're speaking the truth and you're helping educate people. You know, I come from a family of educators, so it kind of rubs off on you. And you're helping people out of their, I don't want to say out of their depression like a psychiatrist, but you know what I'm saying? When you're showing people that there's an option, when you're giving people a ray of hope, when you know, our people are freaked out in this country. There is no doubt about it. We've had four plus years of hell, and many of us have lost small fortunes. Some of us have lost bigger fortunes, and I'm getting tired of starting over. I'm getting tired of making wealth and getting ready to retire, and then doing it again. My first time I retired, I was 40 years old. When I walked away from a job, said I have worked my butt off my whole life. And I can actually take a break because I got enough money invested and things like that I can actually do okay. And, you know, then they crash the economy and they play games. And this whole thing that I've learned from Ron Paul, you know, about the Fed and the games they play and that other tax they never tell you about called inflation. You know, besides that, when you lose 20, 30, 40, 50, 60% of your wealth, you know, you got to go to work, and this time you got to work harder because it's worth 20-30% less next time you make it. I mean, there's got to be a point in time where people go, enough, you know, and if they can't figure it out on their own, because change only occurs when an event happens so drastic because it forces you to change. We learned that in the drug rehab industry, you know, you got to hit bottom. Well, change also happens when you make a conscious decision to say, I am going to make a change in my life. Well, we're at a point in this country where it's hitting bottom. So for all those people out there, sleepy people out there, hoping that these people we're throwing into the Congress and the presidency are going to fix it for us, most of them, upon close scrutiny, are the problem. So they ain't going to fix it. And most of them, through their lack of decisions and willingness to stand up and do what is right, it's gridlock. You know why we have gridlock? Because none of them will do what's right. Because all we have to do is have one Speaker of the House like Newt Gingrich and this thing would turn around. Or one president like Ronald Reagan and this country would turn around. So the potential's there, but it's going to hit bottom. Either you, the people of America, are going to stand up and say, enough is enough, and I'm going to go find my options. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to exercise my right by who I support, who I give my money to, and who I give my vote to, and make that change. Or we're all going to crash together, and then we're all going to be forced to make that change. So, you know, I think we're at a time where we actually can make a difference, and what Rex says is so vital to understand. And too many people get caught up in this over the voting for the man for the office. It's a lot more than the president that runs this country. You know, it takes more than just that guy, you know, that superstar that they spend $1 billion telling you he's going to fix all your problems. That's bullcrap. It takes the president, the party, the platform. It takes what is your past, what have you done before. It takes experience. It takes the people they surround themselves with. It takes the right people in Congress. It takes the right, you know, on both houses. It takes the governors. Everybody's working together. We've got a lot of conservatives that have moved into place across the country in the states. But, you know, they're beating their head against a wall. They don't have a Republican Congress or a Democratic Congress or president that is willing to work with them. They're fighting them on everything they need to do to take it to the next step. That's state power. You know, when we watched the Scott Walker event going on up there, it was huge. But you know what? That's just the beginning. That's one guy in one state, and he's being bombarded by overreach of federal government being used against him, you know, including the president personally, you know, backing those unions to come in and try to kick him out of office. It's happening again. The Tea Party environment is happening again. Unfortunately, the Tea Party fragmented itself and didn't form itself into a party it could have. It didn't happen. So we've got to find those other options, and that's what we're doing. I'm done.
Well, Chris, I'd say that Tea Party not only fragmented, it got bought out. A lot of these people, they sold out for some political future, like the Nikki Haley's of the world. Like, oh, I got $5,000 from Mitt, and he promised me the world, so now I'm going to sell out everything I believe because now I'm part of it. You know, and Robert was talking about this, about European systems where they have multiple parties, you know. And parties themselves, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm less interested in the parties. I'm more interested in the principles of the person who's running, because the Founding Fathers warned about this. Hamilton talked about it in Federalist Paper number 70, about the dangers of factions, which I was going to read to you guys, but time's getting short, so let's not bother. But, you know, the dangers of factions and that kind of thing, and it becomes my team versus your team. Well, you know, it's not about that. It's about what is good for the country. Now, adding to that is the problem that what if the two factions are actually colluding to govern against the will of the American people? Well, you know, the Founding Fathers were like, well, that stuff can't go on very long because eventually the people will exercise their voice. And I think that's what we're trying to do here. But you also raised another point, which, you know, was about the creation and destruction of wealth. I've also gone through this process myself. And there are times when you have a lot of money and times when, you know, the economy collapses. And what you've accumulated, you have to draw on. And guess what? You have to draw on it from not where it was at its height, but now at its now negated value. So that makes it difficult. But, you know, you got to start over, and so you do. But all of this comes down to we understand the mechanisms that the economy works by, right? You know, discussing inflation and that kind of thing. But a lot of people don't. And they're just caught up kind of in the seas, the waves, if you will, of the economy, not really understanding what's going on. And it was Hayek that said, theories of economists, both when they are right and when they are wrong, are more powerful than is generally understood. We're all subject to the laws of economics. And this idea of federal pumping and all this kind of stuff, you know, you don't fool the laws of economics. They will reassert themselves. And just like the laws of nature, they often do so violently and unexpectedly because you've been violating one of the fundamental laws. And I think that's been going on in our country for a long time, and that's why we see real wages declining over time. So we need to get our conversation going, start talking with Americans, get Americans willing to talk about politics again. And if they're not willing to talk about politics, tell their story. What's going on? You know, how's, you know, do you have a job? Did you lose your job? How did this person have a job? And that gets into a discussion of economics, and that can lead you right into the political discussion on a favorable basis, on a sympathetic tone, and, you know, get them active.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Chris, anything else in your mind before I rant for the last 2 minutes?
No, I just want to two small things. One is to make sure that people come on tomorrow night and listen to Virgil Good. And we're going to do our best to get, you know, the Libertarian Party platformed over the next week or so. And the other thing is that it's really important. You know, I know people come on and they want to grill us for all the details. We've been at this 7 days a week for several weeks now. There's a lot of details. Go to the group, join, go into the file section, start reading. We've put all the information there. I have more information posted than I have actually had time to read myself. So I'm not an expert on any of these guys. You know, you just pick up bits and pieces as you compile data. I mean, that's just the nature of it. But, you know, I haven't had time to dig through all of it. Have you, Rex?
No, not all of it, but Coalition of Freedom on Facebook is a great place for everybody to start. And thanks, Chris, and we'll continue this conversation. Robert, Tex mentioned you when he was doing his closing, so I don't know if you wanted to chime in on anything before I go on my last 90 seconds of rant.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, one of the things when I mentioned the European systems is one thing is they actually have to work together in order to get the government to work. Now, these guys, they keep, you know, fighting, and some people say that is a good thing because it keeps them from getting anything done, but they got to do for the people. That's what they're supposed to be there for, and they have not been doing that job.
Okay.
So thank you for having me on.
All right. Thanks, Robert. We'll see you tomorrow on Bard's Logic. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we got 1 minute left. there's a lot of information to cover, and Tex and Rex will be delivering it to you, and we will be irreverent, entertaining, and always relevant with good content to help you make up your mind about who to vote for, how to vote, what the strategy for winning is, how to vet people, and their various platforms, and to actually defeat the oligarchy, because it is about the Constitution and it is about liberty. We'll be talking about the Diebold machines. We'll be talking about the various candidates. We'll be talking about the boom-bust business cycle, the invisible inflation tax, the Federal Reserve. We're going to get you all the information that you need so that you can be a contributor to the American restoration. The one thing I will implore you to do is get excited about this. This is a wonderful opportunity. Now is the time to strike and get people out of their molds, wake them up, bring them here, tell them, look, if your opinion can't hold up to scrutiny and can't be challenged, then it is an invalid opinion. So we will be broadcasting until Sammy's back on the air, and join us tomorrow on Bar's Logic Political Talk, and God bless you. This is Tex and Rex signing off.
The flames of liberty will never die. Till next time.